This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
But a true Muslim, a true believer, is one who loves for himself. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. And in Islam, love in Islam, when you love somebody, you love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you love somebody, you love them because of their faith, of their iman, and you love them for the sake of Allah. And that's the strongest bond. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَوْثَقَ أُورَ الْإِيمَانِ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. The strongest bond of faith is loving for the sake of Allah and disliking for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when you, even between you and yourself, you and your family, you and your spouse, yeah, you do love them naturally, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts between you mawaddata wa rahmah, love, compassion and rahmah. Mawadda and rahmah. Mawadda, this love that you have, compassion towards each other, and rahmah, and mercy towards each other, compassion and love and mercy amongst yourselves. But when you love somebody, if it's only for the dunya, as soon as that particular thing is gone, then your love ends. So if you love somebody for who they are, just specifically something that is temporary, then when that thing is gone, then your love is not strong anymore and it's over. I'll give you an example. You know, at the beginning when you get married, you might be, you know, very lovey-dovey, right, at the beginning. And then later on you get used to them. And what remains is that compassion that you have towards them and that mercy, that rahmah you have towards them. Sometimes that love is still there and sometimes it's not even there anymore. But it's okay, because when you are staying together, when you love each other, meaning as long as you give each other rights and you're helping each other, because the main goal is what? The main goal is to enter Jannah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَفْرِكْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنًا لَا يَفْرِكْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنًا. لَا يَفْرِكْ means do not hate, let not a believer hate another believer. Do not hate them, meaning do not hate them to the point where you are, you know, where you're always focusing on something that's negative. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in kariha minha khuluqan radiya minha akhar. Like, do not just, you know, sometimes you have this, especially people who get into divorce sometimes can be very, very messy. And everybody can dig up everything. If they don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your wife knows everything about you, or your husband knows everything about you. And so sometimes people dig everything up and expose everything about the other person. And that's not something that is permissible, to have that kind of spite. And you do whatever you can to harm the other person. Why? Because like after a divorce, there's a lot of emotions sometimes. And it causes sometimes a lot of problems, and that's why it's very stressful. It's one of the most stressful things that a person can go through, is someone going through divorce, because you're going through difficulties, hardships, and at the same time, the person who you're letting go, they know everything about you. And that's why, you know, in the story of Prophet Yusuf, there's a lot of politics involved in there. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam when Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam says to the Aziz, he says to the husband, the Aziz, he says, قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي, that she is the one who tried to seduce me. Right, and then it was the وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, a witness from her own family testified against her. إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبْلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, if his shirt is torn from the front, then she is truthful, she's telling the truth, and he's lying. But وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ, if his shirt is torn from the back, then فَكَذَبَتْ, then she's a liar. وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and he surely, he's the one who's telling the truth. And then فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيسَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ, when he realized, when he saw that the shirt was torn from the back, قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ, this is from your plot, you're the one who did it. These are إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنْ عَظِيمٌ. And notice he says, he didn't say إِنَّ كَيْدَكِ, إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنْ عَظِيمٌ, like the plot here, the plot of you women is عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا, the plot of the shaitan is weak, but the plot of women who do not fear Allah is very, very extreme. It's very extreme. They would do anything to try to harm if they don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what happens, if something like this happens, what would the husband normally do? He says to, instead of scolding his wife, what does he say? He tells Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, إِنَّ كَيْدَ كُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. And then he says, Yusuf, أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا. Yusuf, you know, just brush this under the rug, don't worry about it. Like, turn away from this. You know, don't just ignore it, in other words. And then he says, فَاسْتَغْفِرِ لِذَنْبِكَ, you ask forgiveness for your sin. Ask forgiveness for your sin. It seems like this is something that's very... Did he punish her? He didn't punish her. He wasn't extreme. He didn't punish her or anything like that. Some of the scholars have mentioned, like, do you know why? I want you to think, look at the position and the status of the people here. Why? Why did he punish her? Like, why didn't he, like, divorce her? Or why was he more harsh to her? He was still like, if someone was trying to cheat, like this woman is trying to, even though she didn't do anything yet, but she tried to do something that was terrible, unfaithful to her husband. Most husbands, at that point, what do? It's over. Right, it's over. Like, how could you do something like that? It's over. But not to Aziz. And if you think about how politics works, it's because if he were to, you know, politics, people are involved in politics generally, in order for them to get to where they are, they have to do a lot of things that are sometimes, they have to sell themselves out pretty much. Even those Muslims who are involved in politics, at the beginning they might be okay, but as soon as they try to, you know, hold on to their position, they're forced to take positions that are contradictory to Islam. Maybe support some stances that are not permissible in Islam. But if they don't, what happens? It's over. Their political career is over. And so sometimes, and in order to get in those positions, you have to understand that there are a lot of things. And sometimes people stay together because everyone is looking for their own benefit, their own worldly benefit. So the husband, who is the one who knows all of this, everything that's going on? And her also being the husband of someone who is prominent, that is also very, very beneficial for her. Right? To be a wife of someone who is prominent, who has status, gives you status amongst the other women also. And then if you're divorced, it's going to lower your status. Why doesn't he divorce her? Because if he divorces her, what may end up happening is she exposes everything about him. And he doesn't want that neither. So everybody is just thinking about their worldly benefits, especially in politics. And so in the United States of America, a few years ago, we had a president. He did things that were very, very inappropriate with his secretary. His wife didn't leave him. Why? Because being his wife, she has her own aspirations. Do you understand? When he's no longer the president, she has her own aspirations. And what were her aspirations? To be the president of the United States of America also. But of course, we know that didn't work out. That didn't work out. But everybody's looking for their own benefit. And that's why afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now the women, when they got together, what did they say? They hear this scandal. When there's a scandal in the palace, all the women are talking. Right? All the women are talking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّهِ. The words Ibn Qayyim mentioned, the words that she used is very, very, very hurtful. The words that the women use, the women in the city, because they said, they chose words, they didn't mention her name or anything like that. They said, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ, the wife of the Aziz, the wife of the minister. The wife of the minister. It's like saying, you know, the wife of the minister, it's like saying, giving a title and saying the first lady or the president's secretary. You could say the name easily, but when you say, oh, the first lady, the president's wife, turawidu fataha, she is still trying to seduce her slave. She's still trying to seduce her slave. It's like saying, the president of the United States is trying to seduce his secretary. All right, so that those words, imra'atul aziz, to mention her title and her status, they're trying something. What are they trying to do? They say she's still in love. She is still in love with him. Inna lanaraha fi dhalalin mubin. We see that she's surely in the wrong. She's definitely in the wrong. So when you say somebody's in the wrong, what does a woman try to do? She tries to defend her position, her status. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then says, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ when she heard about their plotting, notice what kind of plot? What do they want? What do they want? What's their plot? She understands their plot. How does she understand their plot? Because she understands their language. She knows, because many women, when they talk, they expect you to understand. They expect you to know. And if you don't know, that is another strike. So I mentioned before an example. Let's say if your wife calls you at work and says, honey, we've run out of milk. We've run out of milk. So on your way back from work, you know, on your way home, can you stop by the supermarket and buy some milk? And then you come and you totally forget. So you come straight home. You sit on the couch and the football game is on. You sit on the couch and you're watching football. And your wife is looking at you strangely. And she says, it's okay. Our daughter can starve. It's okay. You don't have to go buy the milk. When she says, our daughter can starve, you can, it's okay. Is it okay? No, she, even though she says it's okay, does she really mean it's okay? She's looking at you and she's saying, how dare you? Like, how could you? But she's not saying that. She says the opposite. She says the opposite. It's okay. Our daughter can starve. It's okay. You can sit down and watch. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll give her something else. We'll give her water to drink instead. Right? And then you're like, saying, okay, alhamdulillah. And then she gets even more mad at you, right? Because like, ya Allah. And then you wonder, why is she mad? There's nothing wrong. What did I do wrong? And you don't know what you did wrong. Because you didn't understand her. What she was saying when she says it's okay, it's not okay. She says okay, when she says okay, it means, you forgot the milk? Why are you still sitting down watching TV? Go, get off your behind and go to the supermarket and go get the milk right now. Right, go get the milk right now. Right, so sometimes they mean something and they say something and they mean something else. So you have to learn how to read between the lines. You have to learn what do they really mean, right? And the wise thing to do actually for a woman is to really just clarify, like, hey, that's not right, honey. You know, you forgot. Can you please go? You know, our daughter, we really don't have any milk. Because if you speak that way, sometimes some men don't understand still. They don't know. When you say it's okay, they still think it's okay, and they'll still sit on the couch, watch TV, and you get even more mad. You get even angrier. So when she says, so when the women in the city, when they said, Imra'atul Azizi turawidu fataha an nafsi qad shaghafaha hubba, the wife of the Aziz is still in love, madly in love with her slave. She's totally in the wrong. She's astray. Totally in the wrong. What are they trying to say? She understands. When they say that, what they're trying to say is, you're totally in the wrong. So what they want to know is, you know, like, what kind of person is this? If you think you're in the right, prove it to us. If you think what you did was right, then prove it to us. Show us who Yusuf was. And that's why she understood. She said, Allah says, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأَ. And so she plans this whole gathering, of course. And of course, when they saw Yusuf, he was so handsome that they cut their own hands. And then she says, قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِيهِ. This is what you blame me for? In other words, see, look at you. You guys, all of you, in one moment, you just saw him for a few moments. and you guys cut your hands and you didn't even realize. And they said, وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. What is this? This is not but a human. This is nothing but a noble angel. And then she says, I got you right there. قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي. That's what you blame me for. That's him right there. In other words, why are you blaming me? If you were in my position, you would do the exact same thing or even worse. You just saw him for a few moments and look what you did. But I have to be with him day and night. Another she's trying to say, girls, look, you got to understand my position. And then that lust even increases even more to the point where she then clarifies, وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ. I did try to seduce him, but he refused. But now, if he disobeys me, he refuses right now, I'm going to imprison him or he's going to be punished severely. And so all the women are like, yeah, well, now we understand. Like, but all of society is saying, they're saying to her, like, it's okay now. Yeah, we understand. We totally understand. That kind of person, that kind of handsomeness right there. Yeah, go ahead. Go for it, girl. That's what they're saying. And so Prophet Yusuf is put in that situation, that difficult situation. And I know this is like a little bit far from it. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes, you know, when in a relationship, when people don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they go to extreme. Both the men and the women, they go extreme. And the shaitan loves to break people apart, break relationships apart. So he uses all of these tools. And so once you go one way, go the other, and you start saying like, oh, look, sometimes the husband doesn't praise his wife, doesn't speak nicely to his wife, and then other men speak nicely to her, what is she going to say? She's going to say, like my husband, but look at this guy here. He's all nice to me and everything like that. Yeah, but that's at the beginning. Yeah, you didn't get married to him. But the shaitan tricks you. Now she's trying to find a way to get out of her marriage. Or she may do something haram. And the same way with the brothers. The wife is not obedient to him and not doesn't speak kindly, doesn't use nice words and so forth. He starts to, like, hey, my wife is like this, and look at this woman. She's really nice. All kind to me, nice to me, speaks nice to me, praises me and stuff like that, saying this and that. Maybe that's at the beginning. The shaitan beautifies those types of things. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَفْرِكْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنًا. Don't dislike, don't detest and hate them, have this hatred towards another believer. Don't have this towards another your wife especially. So how do you do that? How do you do that? How can you not have this, the relationship always collapses? The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنْ كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَهَا مِنْهَا آخر. Look at each other, and nobody is perfect, but focus on the good qualities. Focus on the good qualities of your wife. She may have some of these qualities that you know that you can't change. And if you try to change them, you'll break it. Just like the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, the women have been created from the rib and the upper rib, right? And that's the most crooked of them. If you try to straighten it, you're going to break it. And when you break it, that means there's a divorce of her. So how do you have this continue to to sort of like rolled, you know, one problem become bigger problem and a continuation of this. Focus on that which is praiseworthy. There are characteristics. Maybe she might be like this and that, but you know, she's a really good mother, or she, mashallah, she cooks very well, right? Or she's, mashallah, she's very pious and righteous. But maybe there are certain areas that she's not good at. Or maybe she's not a good cook, but alhamdulillah, she's very kind. Or she's very good to your children. So focus in kariha minha khuluqan. If there are certain characteristics that you don't like, know that there are other characteristics that you like. You know, that there are always characteristics about someone that you like, and nobody is perfect. And you yourself are also not perfect. So how do you focus on that? Also, you love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I mean by loving for the sake of Allah? It means doing things not for her. Don't do it for her, and don't do it for him. Do it for the sake of Allah. Because if you do it for them, there may be days and there may be situations that they make you mad. And you say, man, you know what? She doesn't deserve to be like that. She doesn't deserve for me to help her in the house or do this and do that. She doesn't deserve that. She's not even thankful for what I do. She doesn't realize what I do. And she's not thankful. She doesn't recognize those things. Then, and vice versa, also the husband, right? Sometimes you have to focus on the good qualities of your husband. The good qualities of your husband. And no one is perfect. But inshallah, in Jannah, then you don't have any of this. You know, everyone inshallah is perfect. So you work for Jannah, because that's eternal. But in this world, focus on the good qualities. And you might say, what do I mean by loving for the sake of Allah? It means that even if you feel that she doesn't deserve the treatment that you're giving to her, because sometimes you trying to be a good wife, you might think, you know, my husband doesn't deserve that type of treatment. But you know, I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. So even on the days that you are mad at him, you still do the same thing. Even on the days that you're mad at her, you still do the same thing. You still are responsible. You still act in a loving manner. You still act in a nice manner. Why? Because you're not doing it for her. Maybe there are days that maybe she deserves that type of treatment, but there are many days that she doesn't deserve that type of treatment. And you know that. Inside you say, man, she doesn't deserve it. But you know what? I'm not doing it for her. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. I want the reward from Allah because being an obedient wife to my husband and being a good wife to my husband, inshallah, Allah will reward me more than anyone can reward me. He can give me more than anyone can give me. Wallahu khayrun thawaba wa khayrun uqba. He is the best of those who can reward and the best outcome. The end result. And so you treat your husband and obedient to your husband and be kind to your husband, even if you feel like he doesn't deserve it, because you're not doing it for the sake, you're not doing it for him. You're doing it for the sake of Allah. So even when you're angry at him, not mad at him, or you're mad at him, you still continue to take care of your responsibilities. And the same way with the husband. You still do the same things towards her. You speak nicely towards her. But not for her, for the sake of Allah. Because if it was for her, it would have been done. You would have stopped already, right? And if you don't do that, what will end up happening? Okay, now something goes wrong. You get into an argument, and now you treat each other differently. And then the first thing your wife says, like, oh, you weren't like that before. Right? Oh, you weren't like that before neither. Like, now everybody says, you weren't like that before. You weren't like that before. You were like this. You know, like, you know, when we just got married, you were this, and now you don't do it anymore. And then, well, when we got married, you were like that, and now you're not doing that anymore also. And everybody stops and act differently towards each other. But imagine, like you, even though she stopped or he has stopped, you continue to be the best husband. Or you continue to be the best wife, your spouse, your husband, or your wife, they're going to say, where am I going to get a husband like this? Where am I going to get a husband like this? I'm mad at him and he's still helping out. He's still helping out with the kids. He's still doing this. And another also like, you know, he's like, I'm mad, like, where am I going to get another wife like this? Like, look, even though she's mad at me, she's angry at me, but look, she's still kind, she's still doing all of these things for me. She doesn't stop. She's still the same person. Even though in deep down in her heart, she says, you know, I know you don't deserve it. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. And that's why, أَوْثَقُ عُورَ الْإِيمَانِ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. The strongest bond of faith is the loving for the sake of Allah and disliking for the sake of Allah. That's the strongest bond because it's unbreakable. Because you know that the reward will always come and Allah is always appreciative. I mean, Allah will always reward you if you're sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most generous and all-knowing because there are things that you do, so many things that you do for your wife that she doesn't know. And there are so many things that you do for your husband that he doesn't know. And if he doesn't know these things, you might quit. You might stop doing it because he's not appreciative of it. But you know that even if he doesn't know, Allah knows. Allah knows. So I'm going to continue to do them even though he doesn't see it. And he doesn't appreciate it. And I'm going to continue to be the best wife that I can be. Because I want Jannah. I want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who love for the sake of Allah, their love and their bond is the strongest bond of them all. And it's taqwallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why even when things don't work out, that taqwa in Allah will prevent them from spreading all of your secrets and saying bad things about you and having this spite that some couples have when they get divorced. Because if you don't have taqwallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you'll see that إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. The women who don't have fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't have taqwa, they will try with all means to try to harm you. By using the American law, American quote-unquote justice, and to get all her rights, and to take even more than that. Not only is she going to take half of your wealth that she may not deserve, right? But she'll take all of that and more and prevent you from seeing the children also. Right? And that is haram. There are rights that still remain in Islam. And that's why one who doesn't fear Allah, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's speaking about the woman in the story of Prophet Yusuf, these are bad women. They're not good, righteous women. And this is what they do. This is what they do. They gossip, they get around in society, they cause mischief, cause scandals and problems. And sometimes you're right in the middle of it. You're right in the middle of it. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help you. And then that's why when it comes to divorce, it can become very, very messy. But when a person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they get together for the sake of Allah, they also separate for the sake of Allah. Then inshaAllah, then everything will be a little bit more smooth inshaAllah. And at least even if you don't have that love for each other anymore, you won't oppress each other. You won't oppress each other. So I'm speaking about, we're speaking about the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. As I mentioned, in this world, we have to, in order for us to be successful in this world, We have to learn to love each other. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You will not enter Jannah until you learn, until you have faith, until you have iman. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. You will not have faith until you learn to love each other. أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Would you like me to show you something that if you were to do it, you would love each other? أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Give salams and spread the salams amongst yourselves. And so when we speak about, you know, loving for the sake, when we speak about loving your brother for what you love for yourself, the Prophet ﷺ said, and listen, the hadith is, we are in hadith number 13. This is just an introduction, a little bit of a tangent that we spoke about. The hadith number 13, we are number 13 now. And it's from Abi Hamza, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, khadim Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he served the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for almost 10 years. He was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the beginning when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina. His mother came, he said, this is a young boy that please, you know, use him to be at your service. Use him to be at your service. And so he was always there with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever the Messenger of Allah needed it, he would be there. He would be there to help. And that's what his mother wanted. He wanted her. She was very, very wise to send him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that he can learn and can be also to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why he said, خَادِمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَنَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَالْ. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ. None of you truly believes. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَيْ لَا يَتِمُّ إِيمَانُ أَحَدِنَا. None, you will not believe, which means that your iman will not be complete. Your iman will not be complete. It doesn't mean that you will not have any faith. When you say you don't have any faith, that means you're not Muslim. No. If you don't have these qualities, that means your iman is not really complete. I mean, it's lacking. You need to improve. This is the minimum you should at least try to achieve. لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you truly believes. حتى يحب لأخيه. Until he loves for his brother. ما يحب لنفسه. That which he loves for himself. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And the hadith is a very, very well-known hadith, of course. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love the companions. And he sometimes would remind them also. He would say to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he would say to him, oh Abu Dharr, by Allah I love you. And I love for myself what I love for you. When I love for you what I love for myself. I love for you what I love for myself. So he mentions this. I love for you what I love for myself. I mean, if I were put in your situation, I'm giving you advice that's best for you because I love you. And he says, if you're ever put in a position of leadership, don't take it. If you ever put in a position of leadership in the Iraq of life, and they say, I know that you're weak. You know, weak in what? Maybe some people are very pious and righteous. But just because somebody is pious and righteous does not make them a good leader. It may not make them the best leader. Sometimes, because leaders have to be influential. Right? They have to be influential. And if they're not influential, maybe this person says this to them, and then they change their opinion. Another person says, then they change their opinion back. And so a leader has to be strong. He has to have leadership qualities. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, realizing Abu Dharr is very pious and known for his piety and righteousness, known for his zuhud, but he was not someone who had the qualities of leadership. And maybe some people later on will see that he's very pious and maybe put him in position of leadership. But he doesn't have those qualities. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving an advice. You know, I love for you what I love for myself. You know, if you're put in position of leadership, I see that you're weak in terms of, you know, like your authority and your character, the way you are. It doesn't mean that's bad. It's just who he is. It's just who he is. Some people are like that. Some people are not fit to be leaders. They can't be leaders. And some people are. And so sometimes you need someone to help them be stronger in certain aspects. Nobody is perfect. But he says to him, I love you. I love for you what I love for myself. You know, I love for you what I love for myself. And so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this, it shows also that, you know, he himself, of course, was the one who shows the most in terms of his teaching. He applies it in practice more than anyone else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, mentions him and describes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as someone who azizun ma'anittum. Indeed, anything that any difficulty that you face, it's difficult for him also. That it's hard on him also. Bil mu'minina raufur rahim. Towards the believers, he is gentle, compassionate, and merciful. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." This hadith is a hadith in which when it comes to the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, they form the core principle of our deen. The 40 hadith, he's chosen these hadith because these are in terms of the core principle when it comes to how we treat others, what we do towards others. Even if you're by yourself, for example, you know, sometimes a person may go to the bathroom. If you go to the bathroom and you see that it's dirty, like you see that it's dirty, do you like that? No, you don't like that. When you go, you don't like that. And if it's something you don't like, that means next time when you use the bathroom, don't make a mess for other people. And in fact, instead of making more of a mess because everyone else is making a mess, maybe you should clean up. Because you want, just like how you want the bathroom to be clean in the masjid and even in your house, just like how you want it to be clean for yourself, you want it also to be clean for others also. So you're not a true believer unless you want for others what you want for yourself. So if you like something, if you like certain characteristics, some people, you know, they say that, like, that's a good person. He's a really, really good person, right? He's a really, really good person. I love to sit with him. I love to talk to him. What are his good qualities? Like, instead of just praising him, look at yourself and try to be the Muslim that you want to meet. You know, try to be the Muslim that you want to meet. Try to be the change that you want to see. That if you want something done, if you want something, you want, you know, like instead of blaming other Muslims, saying, oh, this Muslim is like this and that, why don't you be that Muslim that others want, that you yourself want to meet, you yourself want to be with. And that's why you have to check your character. If you see some brothers doing something that's wrong, if you see them doing something that's wrong, and you want to speak to them, you want to advise them, don't go straight to them and yell at them and so forth. I want you to think first. If you are in that situation, if you were the other person who's in the wrong, who's doing something wrong, you want goodness for them, right? So you want someone to advise them. So if you were that person, how would you want someone else to advise you? how would you want them to talk to you? Then you talk to them the way that you would want to be talked to. Because sometimes a person may make a mistake. They make a mistake and you go to them. And sometimes, it doesn't always mean you have to be gentle with them all the time. Because we're adults now, right? We're older, and a lot of us here are. You're older now. And sometimes we had parents who were very, very, some of us had parents who were very, very harsh, right? They're very strict towards us. And then you look back and you say, Alhamdulillah, my father was like that. Imagine if he wasn't like that. How do you think I would have turned out? How do you think I would have turned out if he let me do everything, right? And so sometimes you being firm with your children, with people who are doing something wrong, sometimes that's the right way, because they may not understand right now, but maybe later on it's like, oh, subhanAllah, this is what, if we didn't do this, if we weren't firm in this particular action here, then maybe a greater harm might come about. A greater harm might come about. So sometimes there are times, especially when somebody already knows. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he used to lead the people in prayer. He used to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he loved to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isha prayer. And then he would go to his masjid because he was the Imam in his masjid. And then he would lead them there, right? And sometimes, imagine, he's already leading them there. He's already a little bit later than normal already. He goes, and he prays for very, very long. And some of the people there complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and called him over, and his face was red. He says to him, O Mu'adh, afatanun ant? Are you a troublemaker? Like, why are you causing problems for people? People who are praying behind you, there are some who are elderly and busy and they have many things. And when you prolong the prayer to the point where you make it difficult for people, you're going to cause fitna for them. They will not want to come to the masjid. You want to make the masjid welcoming. You don't want to make it so those people don't want to come. You go, oh, I don't want to come. If I go to the masjid, ya Allah, I'm going to miss this, I'm going to miss that. And sometimes I can't stand up for a long time. So make it, just take it easy on the people and look at the well-being of the people. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he was very harsh to him. When he spoke to the Bedouin, he was very kind, because the Bedouin was ignorant and Mu'adh ibn Jabal was a scholar. He knew better. He knew he shouldn't do that. So when he knew, because he's different. And also, the relationship with the Prophet ﷺ with Mu'adh is different. So he was very harsh, very strict with him, but he was very gentle with others. And so there's a time for this and there's a time for that. But at the same time also, when you're speaking to somebody, put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. And when somebody comes to you, put yourself in their shoe and put yourself in their shoes. How would you want someone to treat you if you were in that situation? How would you want someone to treat you? How would you want someone to talk to you? Okay, so somebody who's in need or somebody comes to you, how would you want them to treat you? Then you treat them the way that you want to be treated. You treat them the way, and you talk to them the way that you would want to be talked to. Right? Because sometimes we speak to others, but we don't like it when others speak like that to us. Sometimes our husband, sometimes we speak to our husbands like this. We say this and the way we speak to them, but then when our husbands speak to us like that, then we said, oh, we don't like that. Like, if you don't like that, then don't speak to your husband like that. If that's not how you like to be spoken to. Because sometimes, you know, between husbands and wives, sometimes the wife speaks to the husband in a very, 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 very disrespectful way. And if the husband were to speak the same way to the wife, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Then if you don't like that, then don't speak to your husband like that. And if you don't like to be spoken that way, then don't speak to your wife like that also. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. None of you truly believes until he loves for himself what he loves for others. And so also others, you know, when you're giving gifts, and when you're giving, sometimes, like in mashallah, brother Aurangzeb speaking about people bringing shoes, like shoes that you don't want. You don't want it. You don't want these shoes, and you bring them to the masjid in hopes that somebody takes it. Ya Allah, if you want to bring shoes, bring brand new ones. Bring the shoes that you would take. Don't bring the shoes that you would reject. Bring the clothes that you would wear. Don't bring the clothes that you throw away. Yeah, bring the clothes, bring the shoes. You bring some new ones. You think you'll stay there for a day? For a prayer? Brand new ones. People would take them. But don't bring, if you don't like it, you don't want it, you don't want it, why are you giving it to others? If you wouldn't take it yourself, then don't bring it. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brothers what he loves for himself, for yourself. So if you wouldn't take it, then don't bring it. Don't bring it. Yeah, bring. But bring the stuff that you would take. Bring the good stuff. Don't bring the leftover. Don't bring the leftover. Don't bring the stuff that you would reject. Right? Because that's not how a Muslim behaves. A Muslim, when you bring stuff to the masjid, you bring the best. You don't bring leftover, throwing away stuff. When you give in sadaqah, you give the best. When you choose the animal, you choose the most expensive. That's how we are taught. Al-ihsan. But for us, it's like the opposite. Bring whole bags of clothes that we don't want. And you think that people are going to take it? You wouldn't take it, then why would you think other people would take it? You're the first one to reject it before you brought it because you don't want it already. You wear these clothes and then you bring the good one over and they won't take it. All right? That's how it should be as Muslims. And so we have to learn how to apply this hadith. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. The way you speak, the way you treat others, what you give to others, what you do for others, if you don't like it for yourself, then don't do it for others. And that's the minimum. That's the minimum for a believer. When he says, La yu'minu ahadukum. None of you truly have faith until you do this. The other level is what we call al-ithar. And that is preferring others over yourselves. Not even the same level. Preferring others over yourself. That means when you're buying something and when you're doing something for someone, like even for yourself, you may not even do that. But for them, you take it an extra level. When the guests come, you don't just give them the food that you're eating, right? You give them the food that you hardly ever eat, and you prepare, give them the best. The first 3 days, the first day, give it to them. And then after that, you know, then they just, whatever you eat, that's what you give them also. Based on your capacity and your ability, of course. And so that's why if we were to practice, truly practice this this hadith, then inshallah we would treat each other a lot better. You know, because we would speak to each other the way that we would want to be spoken to. Right? And we would not be yelling at each other. And this starts with what? Most people, when they think about this, they think about people far away. But it starts with your family. It starts with your wife and your husband and how we treat each other. Because how you talk to each other, how you treat each other, affects how your children are going to be when they grow up, because they learn from your actions. They learn from your actions. If you're a good husband, inshallah, your son will be a good husband also. If you're a good wife, inshallah, your daughter will also be a good wife, inshallah. Because you're setting examples for them. Setting examples for them in terms of your love for each other. And of course, nobody's perfect, but focus on the positives. And don't focus on the negative. Focus on characteristics that you are, that you know, that are praiseworthy. And try to forget and try to remind each other and help each other improve on that which needs improvement. So inshallah, I'd like to end it right now, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. Inshallah, next week we will speak about the next level, which is what? Al-Ithar. And we'll have some stories also. This is just the introduction to this hadith about loving each other. Inshallah, how to love each other for the sake of Allah, and also loving for your brother what you love for yourself. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Anyone have any questions? If not, inshallah, it's almost adhan time, inshallah. Yeah, I don't want to go over 50 minutes. Over 50 minutes, that's like sometimes that's a little bit long. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit.